to partake. Chapter 4. Summary. Elrond arrives in Khazad Dûm, and after a rocky start, Durin and Disa welcome him into their home, and further. Author's note. Back on my smutty bullshit, this was supposed to be a separate fic, but then it felt like it fit so well with the trajectory I have Elrond on for this one that I wanted to just make it part of this fic instead. So, here's Elrond getting to have a good time with people he's on equal footing with and learn a bit about voicing his own needs, and also about the concept of consent. I keep ending every chapter with him falling asleep, lol, but he is just such a sleepy baby. I don't make the rules. Enjoy. Elrond had not realized just how much he had missed Durin until he saw him again when he was, at last, allowed into Khazad Dûm. He also had not accounted for just how difficult it would be. He had hurt Durin, abandoned him, without meaning to, but still it was such a horrible, thoughtless act to miss so many years of Durin's life, and he cannot blame him for being so angry. Here, he is caught in a net, having already come to Khazad Dûm half-crushed beneath the weight of expectation Gil-galad has placed on him, beneath the expectation Lord Celebrimbor has for him, beneath his own insistence that he can do this. He has said it over and over and over again. He can do this. It is such a great honor for Gil-galad to recognize his talents, to pluck him from his court and give him over to Celebrimbor's use in such an important project. Elrond wants nothing more than to make them proud. But here, now, an even greater weight compounds the others, Durin's rightful anger. Elrond has thoughtlessly hurt him. He has felled him. This precious bond of kinship has frayed in Elrond's neglect. He is grateful beyond words for Disa, who has welcomed him into her home nonetheless, who is forcing the two of them to speak to each other, asking Durin to allow Elrond to at least try and mend things, and Elrond is doing his best. Beyond that, in Disa, Elrond finds a revelation. From how enthusiastically she embraced him the moment he crossed her threshold, to the warmth she regarded him with, the warmth she regarded Durin with which Durin extended back, Elrond is starting to see how openly they touch each other, kiss, love. And with the same openness, with no less intensity, Disa extends her love not only to her children, but somehow, without any reservation, to Elrond. And as Durin slowly comes around, Durin, too, touches him, pats him on his shoulder, on his back, offers him small morsels of affection which Elrond tries not to gobble. He doesn't have to. It never seems to run out, and his heart is so full he feels as if it might burst. One day, when Disa has invited Elrond over to take lunch with her and Durin, she says something which makes the floor tilt.
"Would it help you two boys get over whatever this is," she gestures, "if you just got into bed already?"
Both Elrond and Durin stare at her.
"That isn't at all how this," Durin begins, just as Elrond says.
"No, I don't think that,"
Disa interrupts them both.
"I think you should. It would do you both some good."
"Disa, love," Durin begins again, "I am not going to jump into bed with Elrond of all people."
That shouldn't hurt, the dismissiveness. Elrond looks down at his plate.
"No, and I have no wish to come between you two."
"As if," Disa scoffs. "I don't think I said anything about being left out of a aforementioned bed."
"You want to fuck him?"
Durin sputters in surprise.
"I want you to fuck him, darling, and get it out of both your systems. But I must admit, Elrond, you're a dear, and I am very curious."
This is getting too strange and confusing for Elrond to handle. He does not understand the feeling brimming in his chest.
I think I should go.
Disa's mischievous expression softens. She leans over to pat Elrond's arm.
I don't mean to embarrass either of you. If you don't want to, then you don't want to, and that's that.
But Elrond does want to. That's the problem. He does. He has never considered it before, but he cares so deeply for Durin, and both he and Disa have been so good to him. If he can return their affection in any way at all, he would in a heartbeat. He spares a glance at Durin, who says at once,
Disa, you know I love you, but this is madness. I doubt Elrond wants...
I wouldn't be opposed, Durin,
Elrond says. His voice wobbles. He is positive he is only going to embarrass himself, but it will be worth the offering if Durin agrees. Durin lets out a long sigh, looks between Disa and Elrond, and finally says,
Fine, could be fun, I suppose. You're pretty enough for an elf.
There is a twinkle in his expression when he says it, a hint of a smile. Elrond offers his own, though it's nervous and uneasy.
If you will join us, Disa,
Elrond says, because he truly does not wish to cause Durin more trouble than he already has. He has never been with a woman, but he's willing to learn what she likes.
Wouldn't miss it,
Disa says with one of her blazing smiles, patting his hand again.
Come visit us tonight when the two of you are done dragging each other all around the city, if it suits you.
If it suits them, if it helps salvage what is left of his and Durin's relationship, then it suits Elrond just fine. By the time they're back, the lights in Durin's house are dim, and it is silent and still, which feels strange. Elrond is used now to the liveliness, the noise, but it is not unwelcoming or cold, just the opposite. Durin turns to face him and says, rather awkwardly,
Elrond, if you would rather not, then I won't hold it against you. Not too late to call it off.
Do you want to do it?
Elrond asks softly, hoping that Durin's answer is yes. Durin's face melts into one of his smiles. He punches him softly in the arm.
Can't deny Disa anything. She's quite taken with you. And,
he shrugs and repeats his earlier statement,
could be fun.
Elrond ducks his head with a smile, then gestures for Durin to lead the way. They step into Durin and Disa's room to find Disa in a comfortable white dressing gown. Her face lights up when she sees them both, and she runs over to kiss Durin, then reaches up and drags Elrond down to her level and kisses him, too. Elrond makes a surprised sound. The kiss is nothing like the kisses he's ever had. Gil-galad, when he is in the rare mood to kiss him, is demanding and imperious, more teeth than tongue. Celebrimbor's were kinder, gentler. Disa, however, is soft and blazing warm. She laughs against his mouth and touches his cheek, but doesn't ever demand entry into his mouth. He's blushing so furiously that Disa's afraid he might combust. She turns to kiss Durin again, to unbuckle his leather vest, and Durin can't help but dissolve into a grin and kiss her neck, which makes Disa toss her head back in something that is half a laugh, half a cry of pure joy. Elrond stands there, watching them, fascinated and awkward. He is studying each touch, each little laugh and gasp they exchange, trying to learn. Durin's down to his shirt, which Disa unlaces with practiced skill. He turns to see Elrond, looking utterly disoriented, and reaches for his arm.
Come here, he says with a laugh. Don't tell me you elves are frigid.
He is only lightly teasing. Elrond's blush deepens and spreads to his ears, but he lets Durin pull him over to them and sinks to his knees so he isn't towering out of reach. Disa turns to kiss him again. Elrond actually squeaks in surprise, and both Disa and Durin chuckle.
Oh, you make pretty noises,
Disa exclaims.
She is saying it to him. To him. To him. Not about him. And then Durin is leaning in to experimentally kiss him faster than Elrond can even think to react. Durin's kisses are different. His beard scratches Elrond's chin, raises pleasant goosebumps on his skin, and he does run his tongue over Elrond's lips, but it isn't demanding, merely a question. Elrond parts for him without a second thought and lets Durin slip inside and explore his mouth. But it is only that, an exploration, not a claim. Disa's crowding up against him and asks in his ear, "Can I get this off you, love?" She is asking. That also comes as a surprise. Elrond pulls back from Durin to nod with a breathless, soft smile. His own hands come to his cloak brooch. He lets it fall open. Disa unlaces his shirt and then dips in to press her lips to the seam of his shoulder and neck. Elrond's breath hitches, eyes slipping shut as his stomach flutters. His body is humming in a way he doesn't recognize. There is no intoxication as Disa pulls his shirt up as far as she can reach, and Elrond tugs it off the rest of the way, and Durin runs his hand over Elrond's smooth chest in fascination, darts in to suck one of Elrond's nipples into his mouth. Elrond cries out at the new sensation. "It feels so good." Durin rumbles a pleased sound and pulls back. "Let me," Elrond says. His hands are shaking as he comes to Durin's half-unlaced shirt. He wants to see him properly, wants to touch, wants to try to return everything they're giving him, but he can hardly keep up. Durin cracks a wider grin, growing more comfortable by the minute, and shucks his shirt off. Elrond touches him tentatively, softly. He doesn't know what Durin likes, but he's momentarily distracted by the filling of the red curls, how he can thread his fingers through them, by Durin's nipples, pebbled and pierced with gold rings. Disa's hand joins his in undisguised appreciation. She leans in to kiss Durin again as Elrond slowly, tentatively, chills his hand down Durin's stomach. He wants guidance. He wants Durin to take his hand and show him how to touch him. He is slick with nerves, suddenly, sure he will make a mistake. Elrond leans in and closes his mouth around one of Durin's nipples, runs his tongue experimentally over the ring, and relishes the deep moan that rumbles out of him. He isn't sure which, but Disa, Durin, it doesn't matter, sinks their hand into his hair, cupping the back of his head. But there is no demand, no weight, nothing to hold him in place. He pulls back to see Durin's eyes have darkened. Elrond touches his stomach still, waiting for something, anything, hoping one of them will tell him what to do.
"Didn't expect you'd be so shy," Durin rumbles, voice thick.
Elrond ducks his head. Disa dips in to kiss his ear and relishes the discovery that it makes him shiver. He's sensitive there, she notes.
"I think it's cute."
Elrond is still tracing the rim of Durin's waistband. He is afraid of going further than Durin wants, afraid of taking something that is Disa's, but he is desperate to do something, so he finally slips down and traces the shape of Durin through the fabric. To his utter shock, Durin returns the gesture in full. Elrond's breath stutters when Durin touches him, when Durin palms him. Elrond tries to reciprocate, tries to go at his pace, head flooded with a mixture of wonder and pleasure. Disa mutters,
"Owley's beard, you're both gorgeous,"
and leans in to swap kisses between them, then slips her hand into Elrond's trousers and touches him fully, with little strokes that make him whine. It's all so overwhelming that Elrond's head threatens to float off his shoulders. Durin joins her shortly, wrapping his hand around Elrond's cock, sliding up to run his thumb over the head, and it is so much. He still doesn't understand this feeling of utter want that floods him but doesn't intoxicate him. It dulls nothing,
Instead, his vision is sharp. Every touch is infused with raw enthusiasm that he is not accustomed to having directed toward him. Emboldened, he slips his hand into Durin's trousers and gasps when he feels how big and heavy he is. Gil-galad is not small, but Durin is thick. Another feeling courses through Elrond that he is intimately acquainted with. Anxiety. His mouth is watering. He does not wish to neglect Disa, though, and he does not mean to. She is crowding closer to him still, brushing his hair back, enjoying the look of pure surprise and wonder on his face.
"Just wait until you see him," she says.
Elrond turns to look at her, unconsciously leaning into her touch.
"I'm afraid I must apologize, but I have not been with a woman, Lady Disa," he admits at last. "I do not mean to neglect you."
Disa pats his cheek.
"Oh, don't worry about it. No wonder you're shy, sweet thing."
She leans in to kiss his cheek. Elrond hardly knows what to do with all the affection, nor all the endearments she keeps giving him.
"Always, Beard, you like being complimented,"
Durin observes with another one of his chuckles. Elrond flushes red again.
"Does he?"
Disa whips around to look at Durin.
"His cock jumps in my hand every time you do,"
Durin replies. Elrond hadn't really registered he'd been doing that. Durin's touches are driving him to distraction. This isn't about him, but they're making it hard to remember his manners. Elrond pulls his hands from Durin's trousers, sinks further into the floor, dipping to press an opened-mouth kiss to Durin's stomach, then further still to mouth at Durin's cock through the fabric. Durin tosses his head back.
"Take it back, not frigid,"
he moans out, because Elrond is marvelous, mouth soft, pliant. He can feel the heat of him, and he's already wondering if Elrond will oblige to take him in his mouth. He gets his answer when Elrond carefully, reverently, is that reverence in the gesture, unlaces his trousers and slides them down Durin's hips and licks a stripe along the underside of his cock, mouths at his balls, draws up to engulf him. Durin has to swear again, to exclaim,
"What a mouth you have on you!"
Elrond whines, sucks on him so hard Durin sees stars. Disa comes over to capture Durin's mouth, to drink in the moans that spill from his lips. Elrond is content. If this is all he does tonight, he is content. Durin is much wider than he's used to, but he just slackens his jaw so he can take him, works him the best way he knows how, and relishes the sounds Durin is making, the way Durin threads his fingers in Elrond's hair, the way Disa strokes his spine and murmurs encouragements that have Elrond melting, trying to take Durin as far as he can go until he can swallow around him, and Durin bucks into his throat, swears again, apologizes. Elrond pulls off of him long enough to assure,
"I will not break, Durin," before engulfing him again.
Durin carefully, experimentally, thrusts. It's tiny at first, shockingly more gentle than Elrond is used to, as if he is still afraid of causing him discomfort. Elrond just slackens his jaw further, shuts his eyes, and sinks down, down, down into that place that is familiar to him until nothing exists except the weight of Durin on his tongue and the knowledge that he is pleasing him. The look on Elrond's face is so utterly blissed out and sweet that Disa can't help but love him. Durin, too. He strokes Elrond's face, his ears, trades kisses with his wife, feels his pleasure building and building until he has to pull out. Elrond at once looks so worried that Durin cups his cheek.
"Too good. I don't want to come before we've even gotten started."
Elrond kisses his hip with the same reverence, then rolls and pushes himself back on his heels to turn and press his mouth to Disa's throat, then licks and nips at her jaw. She sighs, takes his hand and guides it between her legs, lets him curiously palm her, lets him inside the fabric of her dressing gown at last. She gasps when he touches her with just the crook of his finger. Elrond looks up to study her face, begging for help with all but words. He looks so afraid of doing something she doesn't like that Disa gives him another kiss, another generous smile, and guides his hand to her clit.
"There," she says. "Right there, sweet thing."
She leans in to kiss his cheek again, and Elrond floats. Doran draws up behind him, running his hand over Elrond's ass, drawing his trousers down his hips to free his cock, then reaching around to take hold of him. Elrond chokes in surprise. They keep returning everything over and over again. He thinks back to Gil-galad and Celebrimbor, and wonders if maybe for some reason they mean to. That seems too good to be true.